changes to the Taligo curriculum are going to be happening near her house, and she has the best of interest, great for them.
All right, it is 6 o'clock, so I will call today's June 6th meeting of the Planning Commission to order. Can I have a roll call, please?
Chair Maravilla?
Here.
Vice Chair Berlin?
Here.
Commissioner Buchanan?
Here.
Commissioner Sackerson?
Here.
And Commissioner Roof is absent today.
Thank you. Commissioner Berlin, can you lead us in the pledge? Thank you so much. The next item on our agenda is an agenda review. Does any of my fellow commissioners want to revise the order of agenda items tonight? No. Okay. We will move on. The next part of our agenda is community comments and suggestions. This is a public comment period where members of the community can present issues, thoughts, or suggestions on matters that are not scheduled on this agenda tonight. Comments should be limited to those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission. And if you are on Zoom, you can raise your hand in order to indicate your desire to provide public comment. Do we have anyone in the room tonight that would like to make a general public comment or of anything that's not on the agenda? No. All right. I don't see anyone in the room. Is there anyone in Zoom?
If any member of the public on Zoom would like to speak, please raise your hand. Madam Chair, there are no raised hands.
Thank you so much. So I will close the community comments and suggestions period, and we'll move on to written communications. Were there any communications that we should have received after the agenda was posted?
None this evening.
Thank you. That moves us on to our consent agenda. On a consent agenda, we have the approval of minutes. Do we have any questions or discussions from any of the commissioners? Nope. Do we have any public comment on the consent agenda tonight? None in the room. Do I have any on Zoom?
If any member of the public on Zoom would like to speak, please raise your hand. Madam Chair, we have no raised hands.
Thank you. Do I have a motion for the consent agenda?
I have to abstain because I wasn't here, so excuse me.
I'll move to approve the consent agenda, item 7A.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Can I have a vote, please?
Commissioner Buchanan?
Yes.
Commissioner Sackerson?
Yes.
Chair Maravilla?
Yes. Motion passed. So we will move on to our public hearing items. Item 8A is consideration of conditional use permit 23-001 and certification of an addendum to a previously certified mitigated negative declaration for the Corbett Creek floodplain and stream restoration project. Do we have a staff report?
We do. Thank you, Chair Maravilla. So this evening we'll be talking about a project that involves a creek restoration project, which requires a CUP as well as an addendum to a previously certified environmental document. So just to jump into the background really quickly, in 2007 the city received a civil liability complaint notice from the Water Board resulting from a sewage spill that occurred within the city, and because of that, the city was required to expend $60,000 on supplemental environmental projects. And so this project was identified as one of those projects that could benefit from that funding. So at that time, the city partnered with the RCD, which is the Resource Conservation District, to perform preliminary studies of the Clark property and Corbett Creek. As part of that study, the RCD ultimately received a grant of just over $800,000 from the Department of Water Resources for that project. And then ultimately in 2012, the city agreed to a memorandum of understanding with the RCD to facilitate the design and implementation of this project. So I just really quickly wanted to highlight the process of how this project will move forward and specifically why it's required by these review by these bodies. So the Arroyo Grande Municipal Code section listed there states that all creeks within the city shall remain in their natural state unless a conditional use permit is approved by the city council. So the role tonight here for the Planning Commission is to make a recommendation regarding that conditional use permit, as well as to certify the addendum that's been presented to the previously adopted mitigated negative declaration. Assuming that the Planning Commission does make a recommendation to the council will then review the conditional use permit and consider the requested fee waiver that the applicant has requested. So this project has two main components, and I'll go over those a lot more in detail here. So the first component is the Corbett Creek restoration. It's actually restoration of the creek itself. And the second component is the Clark property sediment basin. So it might be a little bit difficult to see here on the screen, but the left image shows the Corbett Creek restoration project, and it has the creek actually broken up into reaches. So I'll try and highlight that with my mouse here, but you have reach one starts at this end. Yeah, right here. Right, reach one here. And then reaches two, three, four, five, and then reach six is the image on your right here, which is the the Clark property sediment basin. So talk a little bit more about this, but the intention is to allow for sediment to fall out of the creek channel as it sort of meanders through this property here. And then re-enters the creek channel down here and then continues along the entire stretch of Corbett Creek as it enters towards the village. So the Corbett Creek Restoration Project was identified in 2006 in the city's creek erosion, sediment, and flooding alternative study. It was identified in that study as a priority site for floodplain restoration and sediment retention. Sediment loading in the creek has been an ongoing issue that the city, as well as the county of San Luis Obispo, deal with. The creek obviously leaves our city boundaries and enters back into the county, and they've had a number of flooding issues in that lower portion of the creek. And a lot of that is because of the sediment that's accumulated in the creek over time and along the entire stretch of the creek. And so restoration and this project would remedy some of the existing and predicted problems concerning flood control and environmental degradation within this watershed. And predominantly, this project aims to arrest what's known as a head cut. So a head cut is an erosive feature in a creek. And in terms of how it looks similar to a waterfall at lower volumes in the creek. And essentially what it's done is it's eroding the bottom of the creek. And so as that continues, more and more sediment erodes and enters into the creek and contributes to poor water quality and potential flooding issues. So that head cut is proposed to be regraded with some grade controls installed to help prevent further erosion in the future. And it's estimated that about 2,500 cubic feet of, I'm sorry, actually cubic yards, so 2,500 cubic yards of sediment is expected to be removed from the channel over a 10-year period. And speaking with some of our engineers, I just wanted to provide some reference in terms of how much sediment that is. So that's approximately a pile of sand that's 100 feet long, 100 feet wide, and 7 feet tall. So every 10 years, we'd expect about that much sediment to not enter into the creek. And so I just wanted to provide an image sort of what that looks like. So the very top red line is where the current 10-year flood elevation is. And so you see that top line here. That's current. The second red line here is what would be proposed to be the 10-year flood elevation after the excavation is completed. And you can actually see here that the existing ground, the existing ground, the dashed line there near the bottom, is showing where the dirt currently is. And so this whole area would be removed and the proposed ground elevation would be where this line is here. So you can see there's a significant amount of sediment that's been deposited inside of the channel, and it is contributing to some of the issues that we're facing in the creek area. So the second component of this project is the Clark property sediment basin. It is a 15-acre parcel that the RCD holds a 12.5-acre conservation easement upon. The objectives of this project are to first provide for flood protection. So As I mentioned, the creek would be diverted from its current location and sort of meander through that property, which would help detain some of the peak flows and large storm events, as well as some of the sediment that comes down from the upper watershed in the county area. It would also have the goal of restoring the riparian area, which has been impacted by urban development over the past 150 years, as well as contribute to water quality protection. So the first component of that being sediment detention, removing sediment from the channel will contribute to water quality improvements, will also contribute to reduced flood risk for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. Large flooding events could potentially cause that that facility to have issues and ultimately could be sewage spills that would ultimately contribute to poor water quality. And then also reducing peak flows into a Rio Grande Creek, which, as I mentioned, can have benefits for all the properties in the city as well as those downstream in the county. And then just an image for you on that second component, the Clark property. As you can see, the creek would sort of be diverted. And these are the sediment basins that I mentioned. So the creek water would come into the basins, allow the sediment to fall out of the water as the water slowly makes its way through this meandering channel and then back into the creek. This project did have previous approval. April 16th, 2013, the Planning Commission reviewed the project and certified the MND that was developed at that time. Ultimately, due to a lack of funding for the long-term maintenance of that sediment basin, the project was not constructed. So the previous approval that they were granted has since expired. Furthermore, there have been a number of changes to CEQA law, which has necessitated an addendum to that environmental document, specifically as it relates to cultural resources. And also at that time, the project was never ultimately reviewed or approved by the City Council. So that is a step that's required in this process, and just didn't happen last time. As part of the review process for a CUP, the Staff Advisory Committee is required to review and provide comments. The Staff Advisory Committee is comprised of members of the Police, Fire, Public Works, Community Development, and Recreation Departments. That body reviewed this project both on September 8th of last year and February 2nd this year. And at both meetings were extremely supportive of this project and ultimately recommended approval to the Planning Commission as submitted. And in terms of public outreach and access to the project, the Resource Conservation District is coordinating all of that landowner access and is taking a lead in doing the community outreach. We did have a public outreach meeting here in this building on April 19th. We had pretty good attendance at that meeting, and we're able to provide information regarding this project to those homeowners, as well as some resources for creek maintenance activities, what is or what isn't allowed, people that they can call if they have questions, and some other resources that we were able to put together after the flooding this winter. Here's what that public notice sign looked like, in case anyone was curious. Posted near the corner of James Wang and Tally Ho. So I mentioned that a large component of tonight's consideration is the environmental review that's associated with the project. The primary objectives of this project are designed to alleviate flooding within the Corbett Canyon Creek and reduce stress long-term on the lower Rio Grande Creek. And so based on the description of the project, a mitigated negative declaration was required initially, and that mitigated negative declaration identified six potential issue areas with construction, which are listed there. So we have biological, cultural resources, air quality, hydrology, water quality, as well as noise. And that mitigated negative declaration identified 16 mitigation measures, which are all included in the MND and the addendum. And those conditions of approval are intended to mitigate those potential environmental concerns to an acceptable level. Specifically regarding cultural resources, California Assembly Bill 52 became effective July 1st of 2015. It requires tribal consultation for all projects that involve environmental documents, and it provides a formal structure for those tribes to provide meaningful input to protect cultural heritage. And as you can see from the effective date here, it was not in effect at the time of the MND's original certification. So we did go back and complete the steps involved with, and what's required with Assembly Bill 52. That involves contacting the Native American Heritage Commission. The Native American Heritage Commission keeps a list of all of the tribes that have requested consultation within a specific geographical area. So when we provided them with information about this project, they responded with a list of 9 tribes that have requested consultations in this particular area. And we notified each of those tribes of the project. In the end, 2 of those tribes started dialogue with the city, having questions about the project. And of those 2, 1 ultimately it ended up with a formal consultation there. And so that meeting occurred on April 14th. An agreement was reached between the RCD and that tribe regarding the monitoring of the site during construction. It didn't result in any mitigation measures, but as was already included, and it's pretty standard with mitigation measures, that any cultural resources that become enough cause the project to immediately stop. And additionally, that we'll have a tribal representative on site during any of the excavation activities that are occurring in case something is questionable. Another important project component of this project is the post-project construction implications. And so one of the big ones is that the applicant is required to certify that the construction will not result in increased flooding downstream. The Resource Conservation District's district engineer has conducted that evaluation and has stated their professional experience that it will not result in additional flooding downstream. In addition to that, RCD's engineering staff has peer-reviewed that analysis and concurs that it was done appropriately. And that's it. How do you take any questions if you have any for me?
Thank you so much. Commissioner Sackerson, do you have any questions for your staff?
Just for clarification, I understand that there was an expiration of the original conditional use permit. There just was a lack of funding. Can you just help me as just a layperson understand where the funding is coming from for this round?
Yeah, so the funding for the studies, the plans, the surveys, all the preparation work that's been done has been paid for. Mainly the funding component that was missing was maintaining that sediment basin after the project's constructed.
Okay.
And so we've been in discussions with the county and the flood control district, who both recognize that there are benefits to the county and to the city to complete this project. And so we're finalizing where the source of the funding would come from on the county side. But we are pretty confident that that will be something that they can accomplish and we'll work on the next couple of months here.
Thank you. I think that's all for now. I think they're going to probably be addressing a lot of
that. Okay, thank you. Commissioner Buchanan, do you have any questions for staff?
No, I don't have any questions.
Commissioner Berlin?
I do. Thank you for the staff report, Patrick. Let me turn my mic on. Sorry. You and I had sent Patrick a list of questions after I digested the big staff report. So you answered most of those in your presentation tonight. Some of the permitting requirements that happen, all that, there's 4 state and federal agencies that are needed to be contacted prior to any work being done in a creek bed, and that's all being done by RCD?
That is correct, and it has been completed already.
Okay. And I just, for the general public, just good to know that the creeks around anywhere in California, really, and maybe even the whole country, but certainly in California, you can't just go into creeks and start doing stuff. So those agencies are in place to make sure that people aren't doing things that will affect the flow, affect lifestyles of the animals and creatures that call that home. So one of the other questions I had,
and I think you answered it, but I don't remember your answer. In the RCD report from April of 2023, that's in the staff report, they use some language that says 50% design for Clark's property and then 65% design for the stream channel restoration. What do those refer to, the percentage numbers?
The percentage refers to the percentage of completion in terms of the design. And so if you have a 50% design of essentially
finalize 50% of the details in there. And so it's pretty typical that for these types of projects, you'd have an interim design plan, some percentage of completion, and then as you move forward in the process, you can finalize those designs. So we have 100% design plans for these project components, and so a lot of those more incomplete plans are used for helping design the application for the grant funding.
Okay. Just tied into that, I'm just curious if this winter that we just went through and the flooding problems we had, did that necessitate any revised designs or considerations that you're aware of?
Not yet. So in the last couple of weeks, the district has been working on resurveying the areas that they previously had surveyed to see. You would expect some changes in the creek, and so they want to see how significant those are. And so they'll be working on that, but we haven't identified any major changes that would necessitate a redesign.
Okay. In my limited experience, the civil engineers, hydraulic engineers, they calculate flows and know historic ranges and 100-year storm events. Do you know, I think you mentioned, or what did you want your diagram, what is this designed to, a 10-year storm event or a 50-year storm event? Yeah, you know what that number is?
Well, so the project isn't necessarily designed to a certain flood event. It is going to excavate the low flow channel, which would come into play when in all times. You know, anytime the creek's flowing, it's going to be in that channel at least, and then also maybe in the floodplain. But so they're going to excavate that low flow channel and install some more grade controls to help prevent erosivity. But it hasn't been designed in a way that the creek could be expected to support a certain year event.
Fair enough. I get that. Thank you for that. So just so my understanding is clear, it's a two-phase project, one of it being slow the water up, retain it in a sediment, and part two is redistribute it back into the creek at a reduced flow.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, the combination of the excavation of the low-flow channel will increase flood capacity, so there'll be more room in the creek to hold water. And then also, in addition, it'll help with the long-term health of the creek by not allowing it to continue to erode and degrade the water quality.
Okay, that's all I got. Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you, Commissioner. I just had a couple just general questions. So this was identified as a priority in 2006. Has anything been done in that time period since then? That's what, 17 years?
Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't appear that there has been any maintenance activities in this section of the creek in quite a while. I don't know the exact timeline for when it was last maintained, but it's been a little while.
Okay. And then just generally, when is this, if this all gets approved, when would this project start and how, in the best case scenario, I guess, how long would it take?
Yeah, so I believe that they're anticipating a 6-week construction schedule. Okay. So the construction time frame won't be extremely long, but there are a number of steps involved in procuring contractors. Like, for example, the RFP to secure the contractor should be published now or will be very shortly. But I know that their timelines based on working in the creek are limited to the rainy season. So they'll have to be completed with construction before October 15th.
So the plan is to get it completed before the rainy season starts in October.
Yeah, the RCD's intention is to construct this project very imminently.
Okay.
The Clark property component of it, because of the unknown maintenance funding and some other components as well, likely wouldn't occur until next summer. Not 100% sure on that. It's possible it could happen this summer, but less likely. The intention here is to sort of give the RCD more flexible approval to put both project components so that it, next year, if they are ready, or maybe even the year following, they can construct it then.
Okay. And then you had mentioned that the funding aspect was coming from the county. Does that include the construction funding then?
So the entire project, from all the construction, the studies, all that's been funded through the DWR grant.
So the construction was also funded through that beginning part.
Yeah, really. Okay. The only project component that wasn't funded through that is the after project maintenance. And so it's expected that as the sediment gets retained in those detention basins, that an excavator or some other type of machinery will have to excavate it, put it in a dump truck, and then take it to the landfill.
Okay, great. Those were my only questions. Thank you so much. I will turn it over to public comment at this point in time, unless anyone else has any other questions or anything that came up. Okay. So if you would like to make a comment on this agenda item, please come forward in the room at this time.
Questions, considered, comments?
Yeah. Sure. And when you make a comment, just state your name.
Do I need to do anything to turn this microphone?
No, they'll take care of it all for you. You'll have a 3-minute time period.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you.
My name is Joe Brown. I'm at 146 Tally Ho, so right on the creek. I just had some questions about what we're actually talking about in terms of what we're going to be doing to the creek. I was here for the meeting with RCD back in April. And as I understood it, what was going to be happening was somewhere around a 400-foot area of the creek between James Way, kind of south or so, was what was going to be happening this year. And that in perhaps 2, 3, 5, however many years was going to be the Clark property, kind of that the horse area, and then the rest of the creek. So I just wanted to get some clarification on what work we're actually talking about doing, whether it's the entire creek, whether it's that section from James Way south. And I have a somewhat vested interest in ensuring that we have a proper flow through the creek. So I just wanted to get some clarification on that.
Could you guys provide some clarification on this?
Absolutely.
Questions?
So the approval for this project does contemplate both project components. Although, like you're saying and was stated by the RCD, it's not expected that the Clark property project will be constructed immediately. Mm-hmm. It's likely that it'll be a year or two out. And so what we are talking about is the section of the creek that is closest to James Way and to the south. And you're right, it is a relatively limited section of the creek in terms of linear distance. It is probably about 400 feet, but the project is expected to have benefits for sort of that whole section of the creek because of the removal of the sediment from the channel and the removal of the erosive feature. And so if you have more questions about the specific, you know, benefits to your property, we can definitely take a look at that with the district engineers.
Not necessarily. Like, our property didn't flood, or it didn't even overflow the creek where we're at. But the main flooding issues on the creek were from James Way north. And I guess I haven't heard that discussed in terms of what the remediation is or what the restoration is of that part of the creek. The Clark property is you know, certainly one part of it, but it's from the Clark property to James Way, which is, I think, where the majority of the flooding was and where the majority of the issue was, and I just haven't heard that discussed.
Yeah, to my knowledge, there is not a current funding source or proposed project for more restoration work further upstream, although I do know in working with the RCD that if there is a funding source that can be found, they would be probably the best people to talk to about that project, and I think they have the capacity and the expertise to continue that restoration effort further upstream towards the Prince Road Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So there isn't anything that I'm aware of that's being proposed at this time for that section, although I recognize that there are needs in that area.
Yeah, it just seems like it's all connected in terms of, like, that section between Prince and James Way needs to be addressed to remedy the flow and the flooding issues on Tally Ho.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think part of the reason for the project description that we have here is because of the grant funding source was tied to stream restoration. And so it's very clear that there is an erosive feature that's degrading the health of the stream there. And so the funding was identified for that particular component of it. But I think its future work was identified there in that further upstream section that it would be definitely eligible for future work.
And I don't know that it's erosive. Like, the issue that it has is the sediment, right? And so the sediment has built up in that stream bed, so it's not deep, allowing the water to flow sideways instead of downstream.
Exactly. Yeah, that is one of the components of this project, is to remove that sediment. But I think if it continues to erode,
it's just not in that area.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not aware of any projects that are being proposed further upstream at this time. I think the RCD's identified this particular area and they'll be focused on that. But if they identify other areas that could be, good for a project, then they might propose that in the future.
Got it. Okay, so just comment that it seems somewhat disjointed, where we're doing sediment basins, definitely needed, doing a section of the creek between James Way, you know, and south a bit, but there's a large portion of the creek where the majority of the flooding happened, where it doesn't seem like there's a plan in place where that's under consideration for this committee.
Thank you. Absolutely noted. Is just a question for staff at this point. How do these projects get looked at in terms of, like, you know, if grant funding wanted to, you know, who is looking for that grant funding? Is it you? Is it the city? Is it RCD that would be determining what parts of the creek need, you know, restoration, essentially?
Yeah, so that's a bit of a challenge with these all being privately owned parcels. You know, the city hasn't made any large efforts to identify private properties where they would conduct a restoration project. And so we're sort of left for groups like the RCD to propose these types of projects. And we don't see them very often. So I think it would be great if, you know, more of those types of projects came forward, but ultimately we're looking for an applicant on them.
So what you're saying is that the property owner would have to come forward with, we think that our portion of the creek would be a good candidate for a restoration project.
Yeah, that would certainly be a way that it could start if they contacted the RCD and came up with a section of the creek that all the property owners were in agreement on needed to be, you know, maintained. But ultimately, the RCD would likely be the lead applicant and do a lot of the grant writing and legwork if the property owners couldn't.
Would the public or the property owners, could they go to RCD?
Absolutely, yeah, I would encourage them to do so. And I think a lot of the, you know, people that have been affected on Tally Ho have been in contact with the RCD for a number of meetings. But yeah, the RCD is a great resource in that regard.
Great, thank you, Commissioner Sacristan. Did you have a question?
Sorry,
no, you're fine.
Just a quick comment. Thank you, Mr. Brown, for raising a very valid concern. I think it's probably something that would be echoed by quite a few members of our community. To that point, I think it's relevant to go back to the impetus of why this even became a thing. There was an incident that basically prompted a study to be done and then an action to be taken, which is how this was brought to light and became a project way back when. Certainly seeing the flooding that happened this last winter is another event that would scare many of us into action. So I think this is one of those call to actions for the community where if you see this particular need and you're saying, great, this is a good first step, but it's not enough. I think it's important to bring those concerns to forums like this, but also if you are one of those property owners or you are friends with those property owners along that creek and you think that there is a section that can be done, please do what Patrick is suggesting. Reach out to RCD and say, look, all of us here in this neighborhood are willing to give access to the creek bed and to our properties in order to address this issue that might affect all of us. Otherwise, we are somewhat bound by projects being brought to us in sections like this.
That's correct. Did you have a question?
Yeah, just thanks. Appreciate your feedback, and it's certainly relevant. This is a linear project, and you don't want to do something down here and something up there in the whole middle section. So I don't think that's the intent, but the devil's in the details for sure. So it sounds like you've talked to RCD or you came to their info session maybe.
Yes.
Is that right? I would encourage you to talk to staff and go directly back to RCD and say, in light of what we experienced this last year, we need to know what kind of possibilities this linear project could affect these stretches of the creek. I don't know. My understanding that looking at it visually is that it was going to be, it obviously has to be connective. It doesn't make sense to do the end of it and the other end of it and not the middle of it where we've seen the problem. So you bring up a good point.
I would 100% agree. And it was my understanding from the meeting in April that it was going to be this first section, it was starting in September-ish, James Way South. And then the second phase was going to be from James Way up to Prince. And then the third phase was going to be the Clark property, but it doesn't sound like that's the case any longer.
Okay. Yeah, I, in light of the format of our meeting tonight, and again, appreciate you bringing this to our attention, because in my mind, I didn't realize there was a section that wasn't being done. I thought it was all being done. So I'm going to encourage you to go back to Patrick at staff get in touch with the RCD and, you know, make sure that that is going to happen. Something is going to happen.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment in the room? Please come up.
Hi, my name is Colleen Skelly. I live on May Street at the very end where the last house, and our property does back up to Tallyhoe Creek, and we did not have flooding because we're above slightly, but we witnessed what happened this year. And I don't know that the city is on top of this. I'm not sure what to call it. It's some kind of an open sewer, I'm going to call it, or storm drain that has no top that runs between the Hansons' property and the property, what is that, going east? And we watched, we've lived there for 25 years. The Conservation Corps used to come through the channel and clear all the trees that went down, that kind of thing. We take out invasive things a long time ago. Has not had any maintenance that we've seen since then. So, but this year, we were here during El Nino as well. We see how big the creek can get, but this year, the creek passes behind our house. We're looking down on it, and this storm drain filled and overflowed for the first time, joined the creek, and there was like a huge waterfall that was pushing against May Street property, which is an empty lot right now. And when we've tried to find out who owns that channel and who's responsible for maintaining it, we've been told a variety of things, and also that the city is responsible and it has some failing infrastructure that needs to get replaced, but it is red-legged frog, also, so that's been used as a, not an excuse, but just that, oh, we can't go in there anymore, we can't clear anything, we can't go down and check it out. So I think the city needs to look at that. I don't know if the property owner is responsible, because we've watched the property owner try to build it himself with wood just prior and pull a whole bunch of trees and things out too. And we were told you can't do that, but he did. And then his property flooded. But the storm channel was pretty scary. It went over his wall and took out everything he built in there to try to protect his property. So I think the city needs to look at that. And I don't know if we were here before all the stuff was built, the new stuff on Bings Way. My understanding, and I might be wrong, is that a lot of the water runoff goes through that channel now, and that never used to happen. So I'm worried with these future storms are predicting that we're going to have this continuously happening. Plus, mosquitoes are really, really bad in the summer because it's standing water all the time. So that's going to get worse. So
thank you. Just as a follow-up question for staff, who is responsible for the storm channel and the maintenance of it?
Not 100% sure exactly which area she's talking about. The city does own a couple of parcels in that area, but sounds like what she's describing is probably a private property if the property owner's been building some structures on there. So we can, if you want to contact me tomorrow, I can definitely verify for you who's the owner and who's responsible for the maintenance, or if the city holds any easements or anything like that.
Thank you. Is there any, please.
Hi there, Andy Emru. I live over on 229 Corbett Canyon. We did get flooded a little bit, another house was built up on. This is more of a high-level question. I'd like you to address just for a minute what metrics you're going to use to evaluate whether the objectives of the project have been met, and if they have not been met, then what happens after that? Thanks.
Staff, do you think you could answer that question?
Thank you. The primary metric that will be looked at here is the overall capacity in the channel. So as you saw in one of the images that I showed, the sediment has produced the capacity within the channel. So an evaluation has been done on the current flood capacity within the channel. And then an evaluation will be done after the project is completed and that sediment is removed to evaluate the impacts and the, you know, how much flooding reduction has occurred by the project. And so That'll be done in combination with the district's engineers and surveyors. And so that's sort of the metric that'll be used, as well as obviously vegetation management will be a component as well. So invasive species will be removed, and then there will be a 2-year monitoring plan after the project to ensure that the native vegetation that's replacing the invasives has established and is healthy.
For that section from James Way, south.
Correct. And so, yeah, if the project ultimately is unsuccessful based on those metrics, then I think the RCD will have to take a look at what happened. But ultimately, they would then potentially propose a new project, or I'm not really sure exactly what their plan would be in that case. But
I would assume it would also have to be part of the ongoing maintenance is to address some of those issues that are coming forward as well.
That's correct.
Is there any other comment? Yeah, please.
I'm Charlene Aprusa, and my addresses are 300 and 312 Tallyho Road. And so, if I can just clarify, it sounds like this project will address that 400 feet we've been describing, starting this summer and being complete in September. Is that correct?
It needs to be completed by mid-October.
Okay, October. So I agree with this gentleman here that, and Bruce Berlin, that other section is also in need of immediate restoration, if that's the correct term, or mitigation of the sediment and clearing. And your suggestion, to clarify, is to contact RDC to get the property owners together to be able to create some type of authorization and plan to clean out the section from James Way to 227.
Yeah, so the RCD, it appears, is going to be the best group to get the coordination that's necessary among multiple property owners. It is possible that each individual property owner could apply for the required permits on their own, but it seems like that's a bit of a duplication of efforts. And so, yeah, I would encourage that property owners and interested in further restoration efforts would contact RCD or other groups really that are able to do these types of projects.
Okay, so it sounds like they think it's already being handled from the April meeting, correct?
I thought it was.
So there's some miscommunication with the property owners and this last meeting, thinking that it's being handled without that coordination of you saying getting together again and doing that. And it seems like it's in the best benefit of the city to be involved with that, because you, if we have another rainy season, you're going to have these same people here with the same problems, because one of my houses is red tagged and it can't be rebuilt. And so there's going to be more people that are going to have ongoing deterioration from continued water damage. So what can we do together for that meeting to occur, for people to have the current understanding that you just described? Does it have to come from property owners? Can it come from the city generating some type of public meeting together? Because we only have a short period of time from when you start the project to when you complete it. And it makes financial sense to do both at the same time, finding a funding source to do so.
Yeah, so if those are your questions, I can try and address those. So, at this point, the city doesn't have plans to complete restoration projects on private property. A lot of the funding for these types of projects generally comes from grants. And so a lot of the nonprofit organizations that do this type of restoration work are well positioned to be able to write the grants that are required to obtain the funding. The city typically doesn't have a grant writer for these types of things, but would be happy to facilitate community meetings, bring property owners to the table, but ultimately would likely not be the project applicant. So we would still need one of those groups to kind of help in terms of the grant writing and other coordination and things like that. So,
okay. Well, yeah. I definitely feel like we should have a coordinated effort for a meeting so that can be determined. We can invite some grant writers. Maybe you could give us the names of some of the agencies. I mean, I know a few people who are retired geologists and live here, but you might know other agencies that would pick this up more quickly. I do write grants in a whole other field, so people do want to write grants. They do get some money out of it. They get that 10%, you know, indirect. They get, you know, other contracts from it. So it's advantageous for us to start immediately because it is, it's June already, and, you know.
Yeah.
It's raining and it might not ever stop, and that'll be, you know, good.
We live
for
in Portland now.
I know.
So, thank you for your comment.
So I just think, when do you think we can have a meeting? At what, you know, this month, next month? We kind of need to figure that out pretty quickly.
Let me clarify too. Yeah. The city is always going to be a partner in these things. I think what Patrick was initially describing too was that, you know, anybody can call us as well. We can forward you at least initially to the RCD, which is I think their full name is the Coastal San Luis RCD, Resource Conservation District. But the city is obviously going to be a partner in it only because, you know, we have a vested interest. They need these projects need a conditional use permit to go do any work in the within the channel. And so that's why we're here tonight as well.
Right.
So this will always be a partnership, and yes, we can put you in touch with them. I think also what Patrick was saying, that they are set up as the district and the agency to best sort of gather resources, talk to the other agencies and things like that. We can, you know, we can reach out if you want to, we can get your contact information and talk about setting up what that could be in the future and how that works.
Okay. I just think timeline is kind of quick, you know, because it seems like it would, if the equipment's there, it would be better to do it all together. They're connected.
Yeah. So I just want to add 2 points to that. So the intention in sort of listing all of the project components in tonight's resolution would be that, you know, if the funding does become available for those other unidentified sections, that they could still construct those because they would be granted an approval and, you know, part of this process. So that'd give them a little bit more flexibility in terms of grant writing and obtaining contractors. So I think that is the intention, is that it's included in this project. And so it may be a little bit confusing because of that, but it does allow them, based on, you know, their funding sources, to be able to complete components of the project when the funding is available. In terms of the other part on the public outreach, the RCD has developed a neighborhood group of the Tally-Ho property owners and residents. And so if you're not on that list already, I can get you added to that. But they are holding quarterly meetings with each of those property owners to discuss progress and other concerns that the neighbors have. And so I'll certainly make sure that you get added to that list, as well as anybody else that's interested. Well, I think the next meeting is going to be in July. And so make sure to get you added to that.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. And, you know, just I've been there since 1977, not living there currently, but they used to have the CMC come and clean it out, and it actually helped. I mean, they got rid of a lot of debris. So once it is cleared out, it still needs to be maintained. And you said there's 2-year maintenance on that project afterwards?
Yeah, part of the grant funding is that they ensure that the new plantings that they install be maintained and are alive for those full two years, mm-hmm. so that they get established.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I would definitely like to help coordinate something.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the room that would like to make public comment tonight on this agenda item? No. All right. Is there anyone online?
We have one speaker so far, Cheryl.
Thank you.
If anyone else on Zoom would like to speak, please raise your hand now. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes. We can.
Okay. well, actually, I feel like I just want to cry because I have reached out to every government official. I contacted the RDC, RCD, and Hallie came out and we met with neighbors. This has been ongoing since January. This is all so redundant. It's just, you know, we're getting the same story over and over. There is nothing being done for upstream. and something needs to be done, or, you know, 10 houses will be red tagged again. What can be done? I don't tell us to go to the RCD, because we've already done that.
Thank you, Cheryl. Definitely noted. You know, unfortunately, this is what the item is in front of us at this particular point in time. So we are going to have to vote on this particular item. But I highly encourage everyone to be reaching out to the city, to the city council when this goes. This item will have to go to council, correct, after we approve it. Our jurisdiction is to... We vote on this particular item. Unfortunately, we do not have the power structure to add additional things to it as well. So I definitely encourage you to please reach out to the city council, to city staff, to RCD, and, you know, make your voices heard as much as possible. Is there any other public comment on Zoom?
No, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the room that would want to speak? I'll give you one more chance. Okay. I am going to close public comment on this item, and then I will move on to if there's any other commissioner questions or comments at this time. Commissioner Buchanan?
I don't have any other questions. I do appreciate all the comments, and I understand the concerns, and thank you for bringing those to light here tonight. I also live near the creek, and this year was, you know, brought to light some concerns that I had about creek maintenance and restoration. Again, I understand those concerns. Just also want to clarify that, yes, this is a project stemming from all the way back to 2012 with some substantial engineering that we are here to permit, and encourage anyone with similar concerns in the creek to, yeah, keep pushing forward and finding potential funding sources for those projects, because I certainly appreciate the engineering that's gone into this project here. It is substantial, and it does require lots of time and effort. So that also requires... time and effort for people affected to service those concerns and prioritize those concerns. So we definitely hear those concerns and hope we can continue to move forward with more projects like this.
Thank you, Commissioner Buchanan. Commissioner Berlin, do you have any comments or questions?
I just thank you, public, for speaking up and being here. And I'm sure if I lived directly adjacent to that creek, I'd be frustrated and nervous both. So I get that. My question, I guess, and go back to staff. So there is no work being talked about in this specific plan that we're looking at here with reaches 5 and 6. Is that correct?
That's not being proposed to be completed at this time. I think the approval for this project would allow it to be constructed in the future, but they would need to identify a funding source for that.
Fair enough. So that answer tells me that the door is open. This, what we're doing tonight, is looking at the possibility legally giving the applicant, in this case the RCD, permission to go into a creek bed, and as well as that, then also make sure they're taking care of the environmental rules that are aligned with that. And as Mr. Buchanan pointed out, we didn't design it, but we've been told in the report that the engineering has been done, and it will not be worse flooding than we've ever seen. It'll be an improvement for sure. It doesn't mean that, you know, your backyard's nothing's ever going to happen, but all we can go from is the report that we have before us that says this is substantial work that needs to be done. It's, I think, 2006 first identified, and you know, frankly, it's kind of a shame that it's taken 17 years to come to fruition. But that being said, it is what it is. And I,
if we're in the comment section and we're out of question. I think it's a well thought out plan that needs to be done, but I sure hope they look at all the details. And so I hate to put that burden back to you as homeowners and investors and neighbors, but continue to remind them of the situation we were in last year and the impacts that that has been for you living there and economically as well. And I would imagine, see, the RCD is a wonderful group. They're a quasi-government. Doesn't sound so good. But they actually, this is what they do. They manage the land and the resources that go into the land to try to make it so the value of the land's not being lost and lives aren't being lost. And animals have habitat. And so this is what they do day in and day out. It's a wonderful group. And so they may move slow, but they definitely know what they're doing with this kind of work. And they are affiliated with all the agencies, dialogue with them all the time. So they're probably your best bet to get something done. Brian, Mr. Quadrati pointed out, the city does have a vested interest in making sure that what's done is done right. And they will partner with you as citizens to make sure that what's done is done right. So that being said, I think it's important that we get this permission granted, and then let's hope the work gets done as well as it needs to be done. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Sackerson, do you have any comments?
Thank you, staff, for the report and for clarifying a lot of things. I know, in general, this is just a lot of information to process, and while it's not a perfect answer to the whole problem by any means, as the citizens have made very clear, and I hear it, I am hopeful that some work is better than no work, and if nothing else, it will give us a starting off point to say, look at how much better it is, at least from this section on, and we need to move on creating that same improvement along the other sections as well. Again, some progress is better than none, and I'm happy that this is in front of us now, at least, because at least then this part can be taken care of before the next stormy season. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. I kind of echo that. I understand all of your frustrations. I'm so glad that you all came here to speak tonight. I think it's really important that we all hear this and that, you know, staff hears this and council hears this. If I could wave a magic wand, I would change this right now and allow the Full Creek to be restored. Unfortunately, I don't have that magical power, but I wish I did. What I see this again is this is the beginning step. This is the door opening to make sure that this project starts and that that work can begin, because all these processes, these governmental bureaucratic processes that are put in place that we have to go through in order to get a project like this going and off the ground, this opens the door for that. So that part's done, luckily. And as Mr. Halbop said, it has, because all these phases were included within it, it means we don't have to go back and do this all again. It means they can be added on to the project if the funding sources come into play, which I hope they do. I mean, I genuinely hope they do, and I wish there was ways that I could help with that, because this has been a very tough process for, I'm sorry, we're done with public comment at this point in time, but I wish, again, that we could just make this improvement right now. But I do think it leaves it open for the improvement in the future. And it could, I wish it could be done super quickly. Like you said, it makes complete and total sense to do it all at once. Unfortunately, governmental projects never quite work like that. But at least we get this started at this point with what we have. And please, please keep being vocal about this and keep working on this. And I'm sorry that I can't be of better use to you at this particular point in time. With that being said, I'm going to invite a motion from my fellow commissioners.
I move to adopt the resolution
recommending that City Council approve Conditional Use Permit 23-001 and certify an addendum to the previously certified environmental document.
And do I have a second from anyone?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Thank you. Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Sackerson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Berlin?
Yes.
Commissioner Buchanan?
Yes.
Chair Maravilla?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you all for coming again. Please keep fighting for this. Reach out to them. Reach out to council. Thank you. Okay. We have another public hearing item tonight, so we will move on to item 8B, which is a consideration of amendments to Title 16 of the Arroyo Grande Municipal Code regarding emergency shelters, Development Code Amendment 23-004. Do we have a staff report tonight on this item?
Yes, thank you, Chair Maravilla. Good evening, Planning Commission. I'm Andrew Perez, the city's planning manager. And I'll be presenting this development code amendment related to emergency shelters. So begin with a little background, including how emergency shelters are defined, as well as current permit requirements for these shelters. So the municipal code definition echoes that of the government code and states that emergency shelters are housing with minimal support services for homeless persons that is limited to occupancy of 6 months or less by the person. It goes on to say that no individual or household may be denied emergency shelter because of an inability to pay. Currently, the municipal code allows emergency shelters in the industrial mixed-use and highway mixed-use zones with the approval of a minor use permit. So really the primary reason we're here and bringing this code amendment forward is Senate Bill 2. This Senate bill requires a city's housing element to identify a zone or zones where shelters are allowed without discretionary approval. So in the city's current adopted housing element, it identifies the industrial mixed use and highway mixed use zones as areas where shelters are allowed in compliance with the Senate bill. However, our municipal code, specifically section 16.36.030, still requires a minor use permit to establish that shelter in these zones, which is in direct conflict with both the Senate bill and the general plan housing element. Therefore, this development code amendment proposes to amend this government code or municipal code section to allow emergency shelters without a discretionary permit in these two zones. This also allows the general plan and municipal code to comply with government section 65860, which requires consistency between those two documents. So really the second reason in bringing this forward is a shelter crisis that was declared by City Council back in 2018. When it adopted Resolution 4883. And the primary purpose for bringing this shelter crisis forward was a lack of shelters in the city and our surrounding areas. And still within the past 5 years since the shelter crisis has been in place, no permanent shelters have been established, and therefore the resolution is still effective. We do have the South County Warming Center that was available between October and April when there's inclement weather or rain, cold weather, but nothing permanent this time. And therefore, in addition to the first component of the development code amendment, this project also proposes to allow shelters in the Fair Oaks mixed-use zoning district, also without a discretionary permit. So the Fair Oaks mixed-use district is generally located along East Grand Avenue between Briscoe Road and Halcyon, immediately adjacent to the highway mixed-use district to the west. So part of SB 2 requires an agency to evaluate a zone for both capacity and suitability for establishing shelters. As staff, and we looked at potential zones for allowing shelters in addition to those two previously identified zones. The Fair Oaks mixed-use district stood out because it does have bus stops on both the north and south side of the street. There are also a number of services there that are can be quite valuable for those that are unhoused in our community, including the CHC Health Clinic, the SLO County Department of Social Services Office, as well as the Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo, commonly known as the CAPSLO, their Family Resource Center. So this kind of gives you an idea of where the Fair Oaks mixed-use district is. So the purple hatching is the extent of the zone. So almost all contained between Briscoe and Halcyon, except for one parcel just to the east of Halcyon Road. So SB2 also limits the type of standards that an agency can apply to an emergency shelter application. First and foremost, those standards must be objective, and they can be related to the capacity of the shelter, security requirements, length of stay, and management provisions. So fortunately, the municipal code already includes objective standards that are in compliance with SB2. Those were adopted by City Council back in 2016, which is about the same time when those two industrial mixed use and highway mixed use zones were identified as appropriate for emergency shelters. So just quickly summarize those standards. There is a maximum capacity of 34 people in the shelter. There is a requirement that each shelter must be at least 300 feet from another shelter. On-site security is required during those hours of operation, and the operator must submit a written management plan that includes provisions for staff training, neighborhood outreach, counseling and treatment programs that are available, and demonstrate their ability to screen guests upon entry into the shelter. So just looking at the process a little bit closer, we're here tonight to get a recommendation from the Planning Commission to City Council. Should Planning Commission be supportive, the Development Code Amendment would be taken to Council on June 27th for an introduction, and then the following Council meeting for adoption. And then finally, 30 days after the adoption, the changes would go into effect. The Development Code Amendment is not considered a project for purposes of CEQA, therefore it is exempt from any further environmental review. And finally, looking at the public notification, just as all staff reports for the Planning Commission are, this one was posted on the city's website and at City Hall for public viewing. We also sent courtesy notices to all owners of properties in the Fair Oaks Mixed Use Zone District, notifying them of tonight's meeting. So that concludes my presentation. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. I'll start over here. Commissioner Sackerson, do you have any questions for staff?
No, thank you very much for that staff report. That was very helpful. I have no questions at this time.
Thank you. Commissioner Buchanan?
I don't have any questions about the amendment itself. I do have just a question about the topic. So kind of going back to 2018 when City Council adopted Resolution 4883, since then, has anyone at the city had discussions with potential providers of emergency shelters? And has anyone brought a proposal to the city? And if so, how have those discussions gone, and what's been the limiting factor here?
So I started my employment at the city back in September of 2018. And in that time, I had not had any discussions with an organization looking to establish a permanent shelter. It seems like annually there's discussions with the Five Cities Homeless Coalition about where their warming center is going to go for the season. But other than that, no real discussions about a permanent facility.
Okay, thanks.
Commissioner Berlin.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Andrew. Appreciate the staff report. And you did answer some of my questions in advance. I sent you a list of them. So one of my first questions, just for my fellow commissioners,
I was curious how many actual properties are in the Fair Oaks mixed use. There's actually 90, this is Andrew's answer, 97 parcels. There are only 64 unique owners, which is kind of surprising, actually. It's a fairly large area. That number seems small to me, but I don't doubt the statistics, just stating that. And then my second question I had is along the lines of what Mr. Buchanan just asked. Prior to the election, a lot of activity happens. And so the Board of Supervisors, county level, just prior to changing of the guards there, the county Board of Supervisors voted and restated their commitment to improve the plight of the unhoused. And they had restated a determined increase in resources and everything across the board to do more to take on the challenge of the unhoused. And I'm just curious, it's not been a long time. I know that, less than 6 months. Has there been any trickle down of anything coming from either the county or the state in regards to shelters specifically?
Yeah, nothing recently from the state. We do have a meeting on the books with county staff and city staff to just initiate discussions about homelessness and the services we can provide in general. Not necessarily tied to a shelter, but just kind of to get the ball rolling and kind of maybe brainstorm and see what options are available.
Okay, that sounds promising. I mean, I know it's one of those things that we all know is so complicated, but we got to have those dialogues. Without knowing the answers, we clearly don't know the answers, but we got to have the dialogue. So, sorry, that's preaching. My bad. Okay. The other question I had, and you answered prior, was there any public feedback? Well, I'm glad we have somebody from the public here. Maybe she'll have something to ask us, which is, or bring to our attention. Appreciate that. But there wasn't anybody in advance. And nothing sent. So, but I was just curious what the most recent point in time survey, because your staff report referenced the point in time surveys done once. Is it every year? It's done every year or every 2 years, 3 years?
Yeah, I don't know the exact timing, but I know the most recent was from 2022.
Yeah. And so, interesting enough, I was curious because I was curious what the trend of the numbers are. Well, you know, anecdotally, it seems like we see and hear more about the unhoused more than ever. And ironically, we somehow got two people off the streets. And let's see, in 2017, they had 52 homeless or unsheltered people in AG, and 2022 they had 50. So, you know, maybe we're trending the right way. Let's hope it continues to snowball. It's not anything to take lightly. A night like last night, you know, it's just really unnerving for those people every night, not just when the thunder happens. So it's something we got to really focus on. Sorry, preachy again. Strength that from America.
That was great.
And I think that's it. I saw the last question I have. I'm sorry. Something in your staff report talked about the industrial mixed use and highway mixed use districts being a part of the, but it is also, I read the language further in the resolution, it is now talking about Fair Oaks also being brought in to that same group of acceptable zoning areas where we could look at emergency shelters, correct?
That's correct. So as proposed, this amendment would allow a shelter to go in either of these three zones without a discretionary permit. So really just submitting a building permit, as long as the building codes are complied with and we meet those development standards, then they'd be free to go in.
And just tying onto that, the only disadvantage that you called out in the staff report was potential loss of either businesses or single family, or let me see, I remember what you spoke. Allowing shelters in the Fair Oaks mixed-use zone potentially eliminates parcels that could otherwise be developed with permanent housing or commercial uses in a mixed-use district. They can still happen. It's just if an emergency shelter is there and gets a better fit, then, I mean,
right? It's going to be marketplace conditions?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. That is correct.
So. Okay. Thank you. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you. My only question, essentially, well, I guess I had two. These are permanent shelters then, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And then was the Fair Oaks mixed use district the only one that you guys looked at to include? Was there any others that were thought of to be included in this, or why was that one the only one that was chosen?
Well, I think the focus was on the Fair Oaks mixed use. It seemed like a logical extension of the highway mixed use where they're supposed to be already allowed. And then we identified these, the services that already exist. So it made sense to, choose the Fair Oaks mixed use district. And we didn't give too much consideration to the other districts, but I think just realizing that this was a pretty good fit. So ran
with
that.
The hope of adding it on is to essentially hope that a proposal gets brought forward at some point.
More opportunity.
More opportunity. Yeah. I'm just wondering if there's any other, districts out there that could possibly bring even more opportunity. But
no, and in just kind of conversations with some of the stakeholders, there's been questions about the Fair Oaks area. You know, is this area allowed? You know, allowed for shelters? And we've told folks, no, it's not. But as Andrew stated, based on some of the physical characteristics and some of the uses that are there, it sort of makes sense.
Okay. So. Thank you. I think that was my only question. I will turn it over to public comment at this point. Do we have any comments from anyone in the room?
Might as well, since I'm here.
The pressure's on.
Hi.
Just kidding.
I'm Kathy Fields. I've lived here in AG for about 3 years. So I just want to clarify that what you're determining tonight is just to amend the municipal code to bring it into compliance with the state law under SB2. But my question is, are there any shelters proposed in the pipeline?
There are none in the pipeline right now. We've had, again, conversations with some stakeholders about, areas of the city that would allow it. And I'll clarify, too, that this isn't just to come in compliance with SB2, because the Planning Commission can recommend and the City Council can recommend which zones these are allowed, and whichever zones that are chosen, then automatically, because of SB2, it becomes a ministerial approval for a shelter.
Rather than discretionary.
Right. That's correct.
Thank you. That's all I needed to know. Thank you.
Seeing that there's no one else in the room this evening, is there anyone on Zoom that would like to make a public comment on this item?
If any member of the public on Zoom would like to speak, please raise your hand. Madam Chair, there are no raised hands.
Thank you. With that, I will close the public comment section and just turn to my other commissioners. Do you have any other comments or questions? Yeah, go ahead.
I have just a couple comments, because as I was wrapping my brain around this, I just thought it was, we've been talking a lot. It's been coming up a lot about how to help a situation that is affecting all of us, right? Like, nobody wants to see the unhoused suffering out in the elements. I mean, especially Commissioner Berlin, you brought up a good point. Like, nights like last night are horrifying to think about. Last meeting, we had to address something that had to be tabled, unfortunately. And I feel like this is an incredible opportunity for us to make something ministerial that also has all of these standards in place. And I think that that's really to our benefit to have these things where we have a great location area with services. We have standards for operations. We have guidelines. And then to be able to turn that over to make it easy to implement. I don't see the downside, I guess. So I'm actually really excited. Thank you for having this and bringing this to, because you could have just made it a compliance issue and bringing the municipal code in compliance with the general plan. But by adding the Fair Oaks mixed use zone, I think that that's a huge improvement upon the amendment. So thank you.
Thank you. I do not have any comments myself, but I will invite a motion if we have one.
I just want to quickly comment. I ditto what Ms. Sackerson just had to say. Sorry. It's really important that we begin to take some action to get a wider possibility of offering assistance. So I look at it as a good beginning point, and certainly a lot of heavy lifting still to come. But the more we open that possibility up, the better it is. So thank you.
Thank you. Do I have a motion anywhere?
No. I'll make a motion.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Sleep at the switch here. No, I'm good. I'd like to make a motion in consideration of amendments to Title 16 of the Arroyo Grande Municipal Code regarding emergency shelters and the Development Code Amendment 23-004, that we go the direction of the staff report and approve both of those things.
I will second the motion. Does that motion work for you guys? Is that okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I have a vote, please?
Vice Chair Berlin?
Yes.
Chair Maravilla?
Yes.
Commissioner Buchanan?
Yes.
Commissioner Sackerson?
Yes.
Motion has passed. Thank you all for that. We don't have any non-public hearing items tonight, so I will move on to the item 10, which is the notice of administrative items since May 16th. Do I have any questions from any commissioners about any of those items? No. Do we have any public comment about any of the items in number 10? None in the room. So do we have any online?
If any member of the public on Zoom would like to speak, please raise your hand. Madam Chair, there are no raised hands.
Thank you so much. Commission communications, do we have any correspondence or comments from the Planning Commission tonight? My only comment is I want to highly commend the city for raising the pride flag for the month of June. I think it was a great thing that the council did, and I just wanted to pass along that message to them. Staff communications.
Brian Pedrotti, Community Development Director. Just wanted to kind of report out on the Smart Share workshops that were done here. There were three in this chamber on May 18th, 20th, and 24th. And then there was a demo cottage on the 31st up in SLO. And then I believe tonight was the last workshop, Zoom only. That was this evening, starting at 5:30, so it overlapped our meeting a bit. But the other ones, staff attended, and they were also very well attended. We almost filled the room, I think, on a couple of them. So
this is for the ADUs, right?
Sorry, yes. This
okay.
is for the accessory
dwelling remind me
units.
What the smart share is, yes. Again.
Smart share, accessory dwelling units, and tiny homes on wheels, essentially, were the main focal points, just providing information. Smart share gathered some people, people's names who potentially want to be a demo project. And then there's also, they do some audits, go out and do site visits to check out, you know, how it could happen on your property. We introduced the pre-designed plans as well and kind of provide a resource on how to get those as well. So, and I wasn't able to go to the demo cottage, but I'm assuming that was pretty cool. They had one on Broad Street and SLO that people could go in and actually physically check out.
That's awesome.
Was that a tiny house on wheels or a?
Yes, it was a tiny home on wheels.
Yeah. So truly a trailer. I mean, a house on wheels is a trailer.
Yes, it's its own definition. Yes.
Sorry. So I know. I got to be careful. I'm going to get shamed, but yeah, okay. I'm just curious. The Smart Share people, are they based where? Where are they based out of?
I believe it's Ann Wyatt, who is a previous planning commissioner for San Luis Obispo County, and I believe they're out of San Luis Obispo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And is their model not just to help with planning, siting, are they doing prefabs? Is that not a part of what they're offering? When I say prefab, like plop and place ADUs, that's not what, or is it what they're offering?
I think they're more providing information.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. They're kind of an informational resource to try to connect folks with the ability to build new affordable housing options.
Okay. Yeah, they help people with applications, connecting them with contractors or architects. Ushering people through the process is really their main goal.
So if people want more information on this program and weren't able to attend any of these meetings, where can they find more information?
They can go to the city's website. There's also a Smart Share website.
Okay.
I think it's just...
And they can access all the plans there and all the everything like that?
Yeah, the pre-designed plans are on the city's website.
Okay.
The slides from our workshops are on SmartShare's website.
Which is smartsharehousingsolutions.org.
There you go.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Can you guys make sure that stuff stays up? Obviously, if something indefinitely, because I think this is just going to continue to get a lot of interest and traction. And so... a PDF, one sheet, whatever. It sounds like you already have links and stuff. So thank you.
Yeah, great. Thank you. That's really exciting information. I'm glad to hear that this room was like packed with people wanting to do this as well. Very exciting. Is there any other staff communications?
No.
Awesome. All right. Well, with that, I think we can move to adjournment. So 7:26 p.m. Thank you, everyone.